This is Timothy Engel from ED Production in Shanghai, and you're now listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 81. Should some shoots be off limits for children? In this episode, a photographer sparks outrage over a photo shoot with children, a new 35mm f1.2 claims it's the fastest, raw photo editing is coming to iOS 10, Storehouse is closing, an interesting new study on taking photos versus living in the moment, and PPA wants a copyright small claims court. All that and more in episode 81 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Timothy, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Timothy Engel is a listener of this very podcast and is the very first to open the show from China, a country I've been meaning to get to one of these years. I hear they have great Chinese food there. Okay, dad jokes aside, it's a beautiful country, and one of these days, I'm going to get out of Idaho like Jim Harmer and make that happen. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 81 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And it's that subscribing part, especially in iTunes, that really, really helps this show. So if you're listening to us in the podcast app or otherwise listening to us in iTunes, definitely hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get every episode and you'd be greatly helping us out. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. Remember when, as a society, we didn't get so worked up about everything? I'm happy I remember that world. These days, though, everyone seems to be offended by something. And hey, if I see something that's clearly nonsense, as you guys know, I'm going to point it out. But I think it's important to not be so darn sensitive about everything. Well, this week, the internets, that's right, the internets, were up in arms when a series of photos were posted by New Jersey-based photographer Alana Hubbard depicting children, two of whom are her own, by the way, portraying characters from AMC's hit series, The Walking Dead. I've seen the photos, and personally, while I can see that they might disturb some people, I think it's important for a little perspective here. I think that if you're going to be upset about these photos, you might as well be against Halloween as well, because kids portray a whole lot worse than that when they're out trick-or-treating. A lot of people who are really upset about these photos forget that once a year, they send their kids out of the house, probably with, you know, bloody arms, bloody faces, and everything else in the name of Halloween. But you can't do it for a photo shoot? That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course. And most of them are valid. You know, there's always people that have ridiculous arguments. But some have used words like sick and disturbing to describe this photo shoot. And they're just not. Again, that's my opinion. But I think most people would agree with that. That all said, there's a photo in the set that I wasn't too thrilled about. It depicts a young girl kneeling on the ground with a boy standing behind her with a handgun pointed at her head from about 4 or 5 inches away. And it seems like this is the one photo that most people had a problem with because it's essentially depicting an execution of a little girl. And I think for some, it brings up thoughts of violence towards women, etc. And that gets into an area that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, of course. But I'm not making a big deal about it. I'm just not super crazy about that particular photo. You know, it's a bit dark for me. Most of the photos in this Walking Dead set that she did depict actual scenes from the TV show, which is an amazing show, by the way, so I totally get it. For the other photos, it reminds you of kids that are dressed up for Halloween and are acting, and really, I don't see much harm in that. Now, posting these photos temporarily got Hubbard banned on Facebook, but that didn't last very long as they reviewed the photos and reinstated her account. She tells us at Petapixel, quote, I put a disclaimer on each individual photo and the album itself. And Facebook did something I've never seen before, blurring out the photos so you had to click to see them. In order to see my photos, at least before the media got a hold of them, you had to go to my page, find the album, go past the warnings, and click the photos. If they choose to ignore the warnings, to make the adult decision to look at the photos, then they need to be an adult about it and respect my art. End quote. And I totally agree with her on this. It's her art. I don't feel like the photos harm anyone. And if you don't want to look at them, don't do it. Don't click on the photos. You know, personal responsibility is a very important thing when you call yourself an adult. But you know how it is online. People will say things they would never say to your face. And of course, things like this will always bring out the trolls. People will find something to complain about just because they have nothing else to do. She went on to tell us that she's disappointed in her fellow photographers, saying, quote, "In every single photography group I'm in, there were photographers making memes about me, bragging about how they were reporting me to social services and the FBI, and about how my photos are terrible and I'm a terrible photographer. Instead of coming together in solidarity to fight against censorship, most photographers decided to be catty, jealous, and hateful. I just don't understand the hate. Feeling abandoned by the photography community is very hard." End quote. Hey, you know what? She's right. Personal ethics and decorum went out the window many years ago because the barrier to entry to get into the photography business has been lowered and so many people have got into the business. Well, this story went viral and many are jealous of her. You know, they'd love for millions of people to see their photos, and I guess they're taking out their frustrations on her. It's understandable. A lot of people out there are in mom's basement, not out there marketing their work, and they have a bit of a problem with that, I guess. Now, in the comments for this story over at the Petapixel Mothership, a few commenters pointed out that some of the photos were shot on train tracks. You guys all know how I feel about that subject. In one photo in particular, seven small children are within the rails of the tracks, and that just makes me personally uncomfortable. Unless they're in active tracks, the danger is very real. People just can't hear trains coming, especially if they're distracted. As people have demonstrated many times online, you just can't hear when the train is coming most of the time, especially if the wind's blowing, you're concentrating on taking photos, or you're modeling, you just can't hear it, and that's when bad things happen. Not to mention, of course, that at least here in the United States, shooting on the tracks is against the law. But many are going to overlook this and make excuses for why it's okay to ignore this law and go ahead and shoot anyhow, because it gets in the way of them creating their art and taking their clients there to do shoots. Everyone wants to shoot on train tracks. I don't get it. It is so redundant. Just like the couch in the field shoot, everyone's copying everyone, and it's a bit annoying to me. I touched base with Alana, and she tells me that these are inactive tracks, so there was no harm to the kids, so that's good. All of that aside, photographer Alana Hubbard created photos that many love, many hate, and you know what? A lot can be learned from a situation like this all around. Next. For many decades, the 35mm focal length has been a classic go-to for photographers, wanting a wide angle of view without being too wide. It's pretty moderate as far as wide-angle lenses go, and as long as you don't put people in the corners, their heads don't distort, and everyone looks okay. Well, claiming to be the world's fastest 35mm lens, the new curly 35mm f1.2 by Shenzhen Dongzhang Optics Technology, also known as DZO Optics in China, makes this claim, but many are going to recall that Voigtlander's Nokton 35mm f1.2 exists. This new lens is manual focus only, has 11 elements in 10 groups, 2 high refractive index elements, and 1 low dispersion element. And from the photos we've seen, that all combines to pretty darn awesome quality. You can focus as closely as 0.3 meters, so about 1 foot or so, but the company says that it works best, quote, within 1 to 5 meters, end quote. It has a switchable aperture lock, so you can use this lens for video and smoothly change your aperture from 1.2 all the way stop down to f22. This new lens will be available in Nikon F, Canon EF, Sony E, and Pentax K mounts, but thus far there's no word on how much they're going to go for, nor when you can get your hands on one. Like I said, from the photos that we've seen out of it thus far, it seems to be a solid lens, and competition is always great, of course. These companies keep banging away at the machine, and that's why there are a ton of new great lenses out there. It's getting harder and harder to find a bad lens these days. Next. Many of you out there in our audience are familiar with the great organization known as PPA, the Professional Photographers of America. They're the world's largest nonprofit trade group for professional photographers, and they're now pushing hard for the creation of a copyright small claims court system in the U.S., something that will hopefully spread around the world, and they say it's something that's, quote, vital to your photography business, end quote. As we all know, there are more content creators than any other time in human history. Yet the current copyright system, not only in the United States but around the world, doesn't exactly fit the reality of today's market, and that is the massive number of people creating works of lower dollar value as opposed to the past when there were fewer creators and the value of the infringed works was much higher. As PPA says in the 2-minute video that they put out on this topic, the way things are now, the system really only benefits large producers like movie makers, recording artists, and others who have the kind of money to spend to go after infringers. A recent survey found that 70% of professional photographers have had to deal with theft of their images, and most of that has happened in the past 5 years. PPA says that most infringements are valued at under $3,000 US, and 2/3 of intellectual property attorneys say they wouldn't even consider taking a copyright case to federal court unless the potential payout was $30,000 or higher. So what is a photographer to do here? Right now, not a whole lot unless you want to spend quite a bit of money, and infringers know that, of course. But if there was a copyright system that had a small claims component to it, something with a lot more teeth, then the tables would turn and suddenly photographers would have something they could use to go after infringers. And also, it's important to note that while your images are copyrighted the moment you take a photo here in the United States and many places around the world, if you're going to have any hopes of getting paid, they must be registered with the Federal Copyright Office. And if you want more information on how to do that, there's tons online, or you can, of course, go to copyright.gov. Now, these things are adjudicated in federal court here in the United States because that's the proper venue for that, and a judge has a lot of leeway. I think they can actually award you up to $150,000 US per infringement. But that usually only happens when the offending party is found to have been especially abhorrent in their behavior. You know, they give you a lot of pushback and treat you poorly, and the judge usually doesn't like that at all, and so they give you a lot more money. Those cases, and also cases when national ad campaigns use your photo, make a lot of money off of your imagery, and you deserve a payday. But most of the time, though, you're not going to get that massive payday. And that's why most lawyers won't take these cases. Big bucks need to be involved, or they're not even going to go for it. According to PPA, quote, "A game-changing piece of legislation is underway to create a small claims process, which will be huge for photographers' copyright protection. The House Judiciary Committee recently began working on legislation that would greatly improve the current copyright process for small business owners," end quote. Now, if you'd like to be involved or you want more information on this, the PPA wants you to have a look at a webpage they set up at ppa.com/advocacy. We have a large audience, as you know, and this affects many of you guys out there. So I'd love for you to have a look at their site and see how you can help. Next. Apple recently made a presentation at the Worldwide Developers Conference, also known as WWDC, and buried in all the fun stuff coming in iOS 10 is raw photo editing, a feature that photographers with iPads and iPhones have long been requesting. Until now, the iPad Pro hasn't been exactly as pro as it could be, but being able to work with raw photos will certainly be a massive step in the right direction. Now, if you're wondering if raw capture will be in iOS 10, according to several developers who have access to the beta of the upcoming operating system, that is indeed possible. The camera in the iPad Pro is decent. Not great, but it's okay. It definitely could be better. And with raw capture and editing possible, I suspect that we're going to see a lot of movement in that area coming up. In a Reddit forum, a poster says, quote, "Based on what I read on the iOS 10 release notes, you would be able to take photos and you'd get a .dng plus .jpeg pair," end quote. So in other words, a raw DNG file and a JPEG as well. Now the public beta of iOS 10 arrives in July, so pretty soon here we're going to see just how useful this is and whether or not devices like the iPad Pro make more sense for photographers. Personally, I don't think it's quite there yet. It's incredibly expensive, and I think a lot of people are a lot more used to using things like laptops and their computers to edit photos. I like having a big monitor, a keyboard, a mouse, etc., and using a stylus on a screen just doesn't do it for me. Yet. I don't know, we'll see. I've been known to change my mind before, and having raw photos to be able to edit on an iPad Pro, suddenly that makes it more interesting. Next. Have you heard of Storehouse? Yeah, me neither. And apparently, most people haven't. Otherwise, they have, and they didn't care, because the app designed to tell stories through your photographs and share them is closing its doors now. According to CEO Mark Cuano, he says, quote, Storehouse will be shutting down on July 15, 2016. While we are very proud of what we accomplished, we were unable to achieve the type of growth necessary to justify the continued operation of the service, end quote. Now, despite two rounds of funding totaling $8.5 million in 2014, the service just never took off. In 2015, they overhauled their app, getting rid of its newsfeed and social networking feature because no one else wants yet another social network to deal with, and concentrated on helping users tell better stories through their images. But despite those key changes, it just wasn't enough. A huge thing for Storehouse was displaying Vincent Lafferay's Air Project, which is amazing, by the way. Yet despite all those page views, that added exposure just wasn't enough to get the service enough attention to be sustainable. If you happen to be a Storehouse user, and hey, there's got to be a few out there in our audience, you'll be able to download an archive version of your photo stories between now and July 15, 2016, so definitely get on that like now before it's too late and they're gone. And this brings up, of course, an important point. Properly backing up your photos is a wise thing to do. If you have all your eggs in one basket and that basket goes away, so do all of your eggs along with it. Next. According to a psychological study conducted by Kristen Deal of USC and Gal Zauberman of Yale, taking photos actually helps people enjoy experiences in their life more rather than less as previously thought. Now, it should be noted, of course, that this study is just one study, and I'm sure there are others out there saying exactly the opposite. When I was a photojournalist, I photographed many incredible assignments, thousands of them. I had amazing access, and many would love to have been in those situations. Yet, I really didn't truly experience them. When you have your eye to the camera, and you're looking for shots to tell the story because they're going to be in print and need to stand on their own, you're not exactly enjoying the moment. It's like photographing concerts. I can tell you that being at a concert and enjoying it is magnitudes better than being there and photographing it. You're just not truly in the moment and enjoying that experience. It's like watching it on TV. So in this study, which involved 2,005 subjects participating in 9 different experiments, they were asked to be a part of things like taking a bus tour, eating in a food court, etc. In other words, living their lives. The scientists surveyed each of them after these activities, asking them to what extent they were engaged in them and enjoyed the experience. As an example, those who took the self-guided tour through a museum exhibition reported that they actually enjoyed the exhibit more when they took photos of it. However, those that were told to engage in an arts and crafts project reported enjoying it less than those who could give their full attention to it without having to take photos. And if you think about it, I believe this makes a lot of sense. If you have an activity that's more hands-on that you have to actively participate in, having to take photos as well is going to make it so you're not really enjoying it as much. When you've got something like an exhibition at a museum where it's more passive, where you're just looking at an object or a display or whatever, that's something that doesn't require all of your attention and for you to be actively involved in it. Not surprisingly, though, taking photos of negative experiences was found to compound things and make them even less happy. After all, if it's not a very fun experience, do you really want to be taking photos and documenting it? I don't think so. And of course, that's going to not make you as happy. That just makes sense. But here's something that I think is somewhat surprising. Participants didn't even have to use a camera to realize an increase in enjoyment and engagement, they say. In other words, when they were asked to take mental pictures of the events, they reported having the same enjoyment as if they used an actual camera. You know, the proverbial stopping to smell the roses. According to Deal, quote, To the best of our knowledge, this research is the first extensive investigation examining how photos affects people's enjoyment of their experiences. We show that relative to not taking photos, photography can heighten enjoyment of positive experiences by increasing engagement, end quote. Now, if you want to test this out, next time you're at an event, maybe take some photos and see if that actually helps you to enjoy it more. But then knowing what you're doing, you might actually. I don't know. Now, of course, it should go without saying, but never let taking photos get in the way of enjoying time spent with your family and your friends, especially if doing so makes them not enjoy the experience. How many of us have gone to a museum or the zoo or something with our families and we're interested in taking photos and getting the right angle and using the right settings, etc., and it just makes it a miserable experience for them? So we have to be mindful of that as the photographers in the family, right? But you know what? Maybe encourage them to take photos as well, since apparently that boosts enjoyment, according to this study at least. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 81 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving us a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I really hope you guys do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. And if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button in the podcast app for iTunes or elsewhere, and make sure you get every episode of this podcast. That would greatly, greatly help us out. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 82. Well, it's F8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.